What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat!
Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passes of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, your horror safe haven. I'm Chelsea.
I'm James, in a different pair of glasses. And we're married and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, James is wearing, they're not like quite sunglasses.
They were sold to me as like transitional glasses that would like darken when you go outside, but they're just dark.
I think they're
all the
just
time.
They got stuck.
Yeah, they lagged.
They transition once and then they're done.
Yeah.
We are so tired that we're loopy.
They don't want to hear that shit.
No, I'm just saying it could get weird. Okay.
Yeah,
we could
say something racist.
No. No,
that's what happens when we get tired. All right, everyone
yes.
knows it.
That was
Roseanne.
Was that Roseanne? Yes, Roseanne? The Ambien. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Classic. God, that was so long ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, today we are finally talking about a Damien McCarthy movie on this podcast and this channel. Damien McCarthy, unfortunate blind spot for us because we...
Whoa, blind spot.
Oh, huh.
Oddity.
Yep.
It's got a blind character.
We just didn't watch this movie the year it came out.
This came out in 2024, very strong year.
Yes.
This is Oddity, his second film that we're discussing. His first was Caveat.
Yeah.
Which I had on in the background one time, and I don't think his movies are meant to be watched in the background.
No, you can't.
Not at all.
Yeah, I have not seen Caveat either.
And then his new movie that's out May 1st is Hokum.
Hokum.
Starring Adam Scott. We've seen Hokum.
Mm-hmm. You've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice. Really enjoyed it. It's a fun fun ride of a movie with a lot of fun scares. Adam Scott's great in it. Yeah. Russell, you'll love it.
We just interviewed Damien and Adam.
Yeah, so that's going to be on the channel at
somewhere.
Some point.
And they are delightful.
They're wonderful. Everyone who likes Adam Scott,
everyone can rest easy. Adam Scott is very nice.
Literally multiple people, including Gressel, who I texted about, Adam Scott was great. Multiple people said, oh, it would have killed me if I found out he wasn't.
It's true. That's one that would have really bummed me out.
No, he was nice.
He's very dry, very droll.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like,
but he was like asking us about us.
Yeah, he was talkative. He was cool.
Guy,
it was great.
Guys, local?
There are a lot of similarities between Oddity and Hokum, but we will not bring them up because Hokum's new.
Yes, we don't want to. But there's very great thematic similarities. Nothing spoilery. It's more the kind of... It would be hard to infer specifics.
Oh, yeah. You're fine listening to this.
You're fine listening to this. It's more broadly, like, you can draw a through line, like an emotional through line.
There's emotion is stylistically, like, yeah, Damien.
Humor.
I'm curious to see Caveat and see if it's 3 for 3 with, like, the trademarks that he has.
I also like that he, because I'm pretty sure there's, like, a rabbit in this movie in the antique shop that I'm pretty sure is... from Caveat.
And then there's like a rabbit character in Hokum. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes, yeah. Caveat is the rabbit
okay.
with the drum. And that is visible in this movie. There's like a shot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things from this movie that are present
items.
In Hokum.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of him continuing that chain as he makes movies. Like stuff from Hokum will show up in whatever he makes next.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
But this isn't like a view Askewniverse thing. Like,
I don't think
no.
so.
It's just Easter eggs.
Yeah,
it's just Easter eggs, yeah.
Damien McCarthy is an Irish filmmaker. This movie is very Irish. I believe Caveat is as well.
Yeah.
Hokum, it does take place in Ireland, but it has Adam Scott, which is, I think, his first time working with an American actor. Oddity, which is what we're talking about today, is entirely Irish, takes place in Ireland, and involves... a blind woman grieving her sister, and because she has some psychic powers, is trying to figure out what happened to her sister and how she died.
Yeah.
Describing it that way really doesn't do justice to what the movie is.
I really like the story in this.
I think it's very tight, very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
I was really happy with all the revelations and everything that, how it tied up in the end. Acting's great, and... looking at the 2024 movies that were at the Prime Rib Awards, I might have might have, I can't say for certain, might have swapped this out with Heretic for best original picture.
There's a version, there's a parallel timeline where that certainly happened.
Yeah, because this, I think this movie's very strong. Seems like most people liked it. I saw some people online saying,
you know,
it wasn't their cup
like
of tea.
It? Zoran.
Zoran doesn't
like
it?
I was talking about it with him, and he's like, not for me.
Yeah.
But he was very firmly insistent on the, it's in the not for me category, not I think this is bad.
Yeah,
category.
Yeah. I mean, it's a supernatural ghost movie. So
it's slow.
It's pretty slow.
Yes.
But I think it looks gorgeous, and I think it's suspenseful. I love the wooden golem.
This golem thing, man, is...
How do you say that? Golem or golem?
A golem.
Golem.
Golem is the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. The wooden golem that's there is a great...
I bet you could buy a wooden golem at Etsy.
Absolutely.
Someone will make that for you. Someone who does, like, you know, that, like, chainsaw art.
Oh, yeah.
Can make you a golem. A wooden golem.
But the wooden golem in here is great. And the Darcy, who is the main character, the blind woman, her, like... abilities, I think, are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's not quite magical realism, but it's grounded magic.
Yeah.
Grounded supernaturalism.
It's definitely dipping its toe in that.
Yeah.
Kind of almost. Because magical realism, my first instinct is Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I think Stephen King.
Oh, interesting.
But I guess Stephen King stories span the gamut of how supernatural it is. But like The Shining, I feel, is like a magical realism thing. It's like a sense.
Sure.
Have, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And a lot of that permeates his work.
I also love this actress as she's playing two characters here.
Twin sisters.
Carolyn Bracken.
Mm-hmm.
I love actors playing twins. I'm always gonna like it.
Just had Sinners, and then I just covered The Monkey on the Kill Count.
Sinners.
And I had two actors playing twins, and they were both great.
Yeah.
The kid and
Theo to the
James.
Point. I was convinced when we saw The Monkey, I was so sure that it was two different kids.
Two different kids for sure. Yeah. But no, that kid, Christian Convery, he was young Frankenstein in Frankenstein.
Oh.
He was like the young version of him. Yep.
He's
and he's in that upcoming movie by, is it David Robert Mitchell who did It Follows? At the end of Oak Street or whatever.
Oh,
with a great cast in that because he's one of the kids. The other kid is... His older sister is from My Old Ass, like the lead from My Old Ass. And then it's Anne Hathaway and Ewan McGregor as the parents.
Wow.
Fucking feed that into my veins.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
I hope they get to sing in it. Ewan McGregor and Anne Hathaway. That feels like a wasted opportunity, if not.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's fantastic in this. The whole cast is really good.
Small cast.
Yes.
Pretty contained cast. This will tap into if you've ever lived alone or like been in a big house. If you're a woman who's ever lived alone and had to kind of make a decision about what to do regarding your safety,
mm-hmm.
This will tap into that really well.
Yes, those decisions that women often have to make where it's like, you know, for example, I'm walking in an empty parking lot at night and maybe someone like I see a man and he's walking. He's kind of veering towards me a little bit. And you have to make that decision of like, is he just happening to walk that way? And I don't want to make it weird or should I trust my, you know, I mean, it's stuff. It's like Barbarian. That's a lot.
Or the beginning of Fresh.
Yes.
And the guy ends up
it.
Having like a baby. He's like carrying a
yes,
baby.
Yes, the beginning
and
of Fresh.
She feels dumb, but it's a legitimate feeling. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taps into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this movie's got a lot of like twists and stuff. So I think I'd like to go through it kind of
chronologically
and let the twists reveal themselves.
And watch this.
But you should definitely watch it for yourself.
It's a very satisfying, like, twisty mystery. Like, I the whole time you're kind of like, okay, where is this going? Mm-hmm. And what was cool is I figured out what was going on. Because I remember sitting there saying out loud, like, oh, here's what's up.
Yeah.
And it ended up being right. But the way that it's all revealed and put together is done so satisfyingly that it doesn't feel, you don't get that feeling of like, oh, yeah, I knew it when things come together, which is always a bummer.
And again, looks great. beautifully shot.
This movie's gorgeous.
Same thing goes for Hokum.
Yes.
This guy knows how to shoot movies.
He knows how to shoot dark interiors.
Yes.
Where you can see everything, but it's, you still, he can balance the dark and moody, but you're not like, oh shit, I gotta adjust the
the TV settings.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the movie begins, this giant house in rural Ireland. This has like a courtyard.
Dude, I'm too American to know what type of building this is.
Yeah, this is
I don't know what the fuck. This
is English as purpose. Fuck, man.
No, Irish.
Or I guess Irish as fuck. Dude. Yeah. Oh, sorry. God, no. Ah.
Yes, we will be. Yes, it is. We will be taking that.
Don't mind if we do.
No, it's, I don't know what this is. It's maybe like an old, it could be an old monastery. Not sure. It does kind of look like the building that they're restoring in The Pope's Exorcist that they're all living in.
No, this is way bigger, dude. That's just like a big house.
Yeah.
This doesn't have a courtyard. This like wraps around. It's like fucking Hampton Court or something.
It's like I say, like Roman style almost. Or
yeah. Which would be dope. Yes. I think, to have, but the upkeep on this thing, fuck that.
This place looks drafty as fuck.
Yeah, and it's Danny, who is the wife, and Ted, her doctor husband.
I'm a doctor.
He does say that.
He says,
I'm a doctor. I snicker
left
every time.
Off the count. We popped. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
It's never not going to be funny now. Mm-hmm.
They've just moved into this house and are renovating it. So, like, I imagine you have to do this section by section with a house this big.
This is one of those things where it sounds like such a fun idea until you're living with the reality of it, which for them, and especially for her, because I think she's taking on a lot of the renovation, is living in a tent inside of your house.
Yeah, she has a tent set
up. She has, like, a little pop-up tent.
And when she calls him, because he's at work, working nights at the hospital, he's a psychiatrist.
He works at an insane asylum.
Yeah. This thing is an insane asylum.
And I know that might sound like a not polite word to you, but no. When you see this place does not deserve to be called a psychiatric ward, or this is an insane asylum.
Yeah, multiple MIGs is two doors down.
This is like where they kept Salieri in Amadeus in the framing device. It's not a good place.
And he's a doctor there, and because he works nights, she's working at the place, and he's like, he was surprised to find that she's like staying overnight there because
is fucking creepy.
It's fucking creepy, and she lives in a tent there.
Yeah, and she's also doing this thing where she has a camera set up and is taking timed photos, and I think she's trying to see like ghostly activity, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for orbs.
She literally mentions orbs. Yeah. But she gets a knock at the door in this place that's in the middle of nowhere, and when she opens the little slot to the door, there's a guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got one fake eye.
Yeah. I think it's a glass eye. Yeah.
And
it's like a milky white glass eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it looks really fucking
cool. It's cool. Yeah.
And
the actor does actually only have one eye.
So this guy at the door with one eye looks very frantic and scared and nervous. And he's telling her, hey, there's a guy in there.
Yeah. I saw you. I've been watching the house, and you left at one point to get something out of your car, and you left the door open behind you, and I feel like someone may have gotten in.
No, he says, I saw.
Oh, he saw, like,
there's a guy in there.
Someone got in, mm-hmm. And she's like, I didn't see, what the fuck are you talking about?
He's like, let me in, I can help you.
Yeah, so she's got a decision to make.
And then she says, well, my husband will be home soon. He says, no, he works night shifts.
Yeah.
And she realizes, oh, he's like a patient.
A patient, right.
A former patient of her husband.
Right. So she's got a decision to make. Does she trust that this man is in his right mind, one, because she infers that he is a former patient,
mm-hmm.
and two, like telling the truth and does not have any ill intent and genuinely is like, no, I saw someone go into the house,
mm-hmm.
and there's someone in there with you.
He looks completely convinced of it. He's
oh, yeah, he looks extremely worried for her.
And he like steps back from the door and she like starts to reach for him. He's like, yes, okay, good, do it. And as her hand approaches the doorknob, title card.
It's so good at putting you in her shoes.
Yeah.
And
then on the flip side, this actor, I don't know how to pronounce that name, Tad Murphy. It's T-A-D-H-G. Sorry.
That's very Irish. Let's see. What does Google say? Because I'm so sorry. I know I've learned recently, we have a significant listener base in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love because Ireland is cool and I would love to go there someday. And I'm so sorry for how bad we are pronouncing your beautiful language. There's just a lot of consonants that
we don't normally see together.
Okay. Pronounced. Okay. Tig. Rhyming with tiger without the R.
Great. So Tig Murphy, conversely to the, you know, here's a guy a little disheveled looking. He's got a glass eye. He looks so convinced and I think sympathetic. Like his eyebrows live in an upward slant.
That's what I'm saying, is if this was another situation and it wasn't like a woman alone in a remote, whatever.
Yeah, remote. Like it's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. So like, what the fuck were you doing
there, guy? His body language is everything. He doesn't seem like crazy. He seems like very worried, you know?
Worried, but frantic, too.
Yeah,
so
frantic.
He plays it perfectly.
He does play it, yes. Yes.
And this cold open is so good.
Yes,
just,
it is.
Like, it really puts you in her shoes. And I think it's a great topic of discussion for afterward of, like, well, would you have opened the door?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see what she does right away.
We don't know what she does.
And now it's, like, a year later.
Yeah.
And she's dead.
We learn she died that night.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened, but she died.
Yes. And that guy was locked up for it.
Yes.
His name is Olin.
Olin.
Olin Boole. But
that name's cool.
Olin Boole.
Olin Boole is just it just is nice to say.
Yeah. But we don't get to see too much of Olin Boole because coming out of the title card, we have another guy named Declan Barrett who is in that insane asylum, mm-hmm. or he's locked up somehow. He's got drawings
everywhere.
He's an
artist, yeah.
Uh-huh, including of Olin everywhere. And he hears some crazy shit going on, and he goes into the next room. Well, first he hides from something that he sees.
Yes.
Creeping around, opening the door.
He hears steps and
heavy
something.
Heavy steps, yeah.
Moans, and it's just something very eerie. It doesn't sound human.
And he hears a struggle next door and goes next to it, and there is a body with no more head.
Its head is popped like a watermelon.
But the glass eye is in the mess. So Olin Boole's head has been destroyed. And Declan.
It's like the mountain Game of Thrones.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Just blood burst. And the glass eye is there and he takes it. Dr. Timmis. What's his name? Ted? Ted Timmis.
No, his name's really Ted Timmis.
Ted Timmis.
Stop. I feel like they never say that. It's always either Dr. Timmis or just
Ted.
Yeah,
no, it's Ted Timmis.
We're never
though.
Saying Ted Timmis.
Teddy Tim.
That's awful.
Teddy Tim goes to his, goes into a House of Oddities.
Yes. Which is why it's called Oddity.
Yeah.
I don't
took
know why
us a minute
it took
for
us
to
so
realize.
Fucking long.
And there is Darcy, the blind sister of his now dead wife.
Yes.
And, you know, they haven't really been talking too much.
It was a bug. Sorry. I just noticed it. It was just kind of large. It has a moth.
How'd that get in here?
I know. That's concerning.
It's going to eat all our clothes.
Good thing there's no lights to draw its attention.
Dude, this is moth heaven, this room. There's so many lights.
So he goes to visit Darcy in her House of Oddities.
Yes, that she apparently inherited from her and Danny's mother.
Ooh, yes. Okay. And she says all the items in there are cursed.
Yep. It's a Warren's basement situation.
Curses are lifted at time of purchase, she says.
I love that. That's how it is at Mystic Museum, too.
Yeah.
All that shit in there. And so Ted's brought her an item
wrapped up in a little cloth.
A cloth. It is the glass eyeball.
Yes.
Because apparently she wanted it.
She wanted something personal of the man who killed her sister.
Yes. And,
yeah. And now they
have
it.
I mean, that's perfect.
Because that Declan guy ended up dying and they found it amongst his belongings.
Also, importantly, before this, they have a little conversation about the most recent addition to the store. This haunted bell from a hotel.
Looks like the haunted Haunted Mansion, Tower of Terror bell.
Yeah, your ring for service.
And this bell is in Hokum, yes. Which takes place in a hotel.
It's a cute Easter egg, but...
Yeah, they talk about how the last few people who rang the bell died because of the ghost of a bellhop.
Yeah, so apparently if you ring it... A bellboy who worked at this hotel, like, was murdered by a patron, and he came back after death to continue working at the hotel, I think is the story. So if you ring the bell, this the ghost of the bellboy.
And Teddy don't believe that shit.
Yeah.
He's a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
He's a skeptic, rational thinker. And so a lot of conflict between him and Darcy.
We're just watching this unfold, and you start to get inklings of, like, I don't know, this type of man in a horror movie where it's like, I don't believe that. I'm rational. I'm a doctor. Bad horror movie husband?
Yeah, we're like, this guy could be a bad horror movie husband.
Could be maybe a contender.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll wait and
see. We'll see if he's got what it takes. Right now, it's pretty inoffensive.
So he's already got a new girlfriend, though.
Yes.
And her name is Yana. And he knew her from the hospital. She was like a pharmaceutical rep.
Yeah, she's a sales rep.
Uh-huh.
She's like the person who brings branded pens
yeah,
with medications on it.
Yeah, she does PowerPoints that everyone has to sit through.
Yeah, here you have a note, a post-it notepad.
But the boss is like, where do you think the money comes from?
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, she's surprised to hear he already has a new girlfriend, but he invites her over to their house, which he's still staying at, despite where his wife was killed.
That's crazy.
He's like, we sunk too much money.
I mean, if it's a money pit.
Big ass, yeah.
Yeah.
So she, you know, after he leaves, she listens to her sister's last voicemail that she left. We saw her leaving that in the opening.
Darcy
listens to her sister's voicemail that we saw her leave in the opening before she was killed.
Yes.
And in it, she talks about how, like, oh, I set this camera up like you told me to try to capture something. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, she was a believer like her sister, maybe not as deeply steeped in it. But she's listening to her. She's, like, getting in the vibe of her sister. And then she touches the eyeball. Eye. What?
The eyeball.
She touches that eye and has visions of what he saw. And we get little flashes of them, but we don't get the full picture.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just a lot of out of context, creepy shit.
Yeah.
Pretty
creepy shit.
Doesn't really mean anything yet, but the weirdest thing is like a mask. It's like a white mask with little dot pupils. It sucks to look at.
Yeah. And then she goes to the very back of the store where there's a trunk. And this is where we get the Easter egg of the caveat bunny. Yeah, and there's some other cool looking things there, but she's got a big old trunk. And she's going to be sending that to Ted.
Yep. Time to deploy the trunk. We're not going to find out what's in that trunk for a little while, which is fun. I love how long it takes to finally see what's in this goddamn trunk. I love how even after the other characters open it and are discussing what is in the trunk, the audience don't know, and it kills you. You just want to fucking know what's in there. And then when you learn what's in there, you're like, put it back. No.
So back at the house, we meet Ted's girlfriend, Yana, and she found Danny's camera, the camera of his dead wife. And she's like, do you want this? And he's like, no, I'm good. And she's like, wait, what?
You don't want pictures of your dead... Maybe. It's so funny because I feel like she's very cold this whole movie. But even in this instance, she's like, dude, you don't want...
She's like, you should. And he's like, fine, I guess.
I guess.
And then she's like, but listen, also, I was going through the cameras and look at this one. And
Paranormal Activity ass moment. Which in a good compliment.
They're complimentary. There's a picture where in the dark shadows is Danny's face.
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess she took
it's
a picture
a trick
of herself.
Of the light.
No, he's like, I guess that's what she took a picture of herself. It was on a timer.
Oh, a double
and
exposure.
Like, yeah. And Yana's like, I took this 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And she says that like the other night. She went upstairs and she saw Danny's ghost standing there. And it's a good scare.
It is. It's
like she's telling the story. And this is a thing he does in Hokum, too. A character will tell
flashbacks,
a story.
Flashbacks, yes.
And then you see it in flashback form. And it's a, I don't know. I've always enjoyed
it. I like
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's a character being like, so I got the shit scared out of me the other night. And then we just get the sequence leading up to that character getting the shit scared out of them.
And it's still effective, even though
you know
it's, that's...
But that's why it's effective. Is you're like, ugh, I know
it's that dread.
Something's gonna happen. It's fun. It's a fun quirk of his that I think is unique to him that I like.
A peculiarity.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yana doesn't even want to stay there. She wants to go back to her apartment that night.
I mean,
night.
I wouldn't want to stay there.
No, fuck no, dude.
Especially because, like... Because
he's working nights. He's he's about to leave to go to work and leave her there all night.
Yeah.
In the place where his wife was murdered.
And, like, staying in a big house by yourself, even if no one's been murdered there, is scary. And someone was extremely murdered in that house.
And I don't even know if it's done yet. Like
the house?
Yeah.
Yeah. This moth is going crazy. It's having the time of its life.
See, now if Lucy was still able to grace the podcast set, she might be able to take care of it.
Yeah, Lucy can like jump in the air and get him.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's getting ready to go to work. She's getting ready to just go into town. And,
yeah, she's like, I have plans. They realize, wait a minute, Darcy, or no, the trunk shows up, right?
Well, he sees the trunk and is like, what the fuck is this? And she's like, your dead wife's sister sent it. So she had sent it ahead of time.
Okay.
And he's like, what? Why would she do that? And they're like, oh, well, we can ask her. She's here.
Yep.
Darcy's there.
Darcy's here.
She's apparently been dropped off, I guess. I would imagine. There's not a car there.
I don't know. Maybe she can teleport. She can do all kinds of crazy
She looks cool,
stuff.
Too. She's got, like, silver
She's
hair.
She's got a cool look, yeah.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. like white eyes.
She's got kind of a Michelle Williams thing going on.
Wicked Witch. Oh, no, that's Michelle. Yeah.
Michelle Williams, flip it around. Michelle Williams. So yeah, she shows up because she had a discussion with Ted where they basically were like, she was like, I would like to come over because it's about the year anniversary.
Yeah, he was like, come on over.
Do you remember? And he kind of, in that way where you're like, yeah, let's hang out, let's go to, and you kind of never do.
But she's there and she's like, you invited me.
Yes.
Like, well, I thought we would actually, you know, you'd follow up and make plans. And she's like, well, I'm here now, so I guess call work and cancel. He's like, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't cancel work. And Yana's like, I got plans in the city. I can't. But she gets basically.
Well, Darcy's like, I guess I'll just stay here without you guys. And they're like, what the fuck? And like, Yana's like mouthing to Ted, like, no, because Darcy's blind and can't see. But he's like, yeah, I guess you can stay where your sister got murdered a year ago by yourself in this giant house while we're gone.
Yeah, and then. That's when Yana's like, oh my God, like, fine.
She's like, the fridge is back there if you want food.
And then she realizes.
Well, he leaves.
Yana's about to leave, but then she realizes her car keys are gone.
Yeah, she like gets ready to go and she's like ready to leave this blind woman in a strange house by herself. And
yeah, where she doesn't know the layout or anything.
Yeah, I know. And it's like giant.
Yeah, yeah.
But she can't find her keys all of a sudden. And she's unable to find them no matter where she looks. So I guess she's stuck there with
Darcy, who is also just like, oh, can you also make me food? It's such an awkward scene. All of it's so awkward. Like, these two clearly are just not compatible people in any universe. And I don't know why, but I just kept thinking of like a Reddit, am I the asshole post? Like Reddit, I 32 and my boyfriend, male 35, had his dead wife's sister, female 33, show up and insist on staying at our house and make her a cheese platter while I had plans in the city. Just, it's just so.
Also, she's blind. Am I the asshole?
Yes, it's just such like it's almost, it's not the same thing, but it made me think a little bit of the uncomfortableness of Speak No Evil.
Oh.
Where it's just the early stages of that movie where it's just the weird little like feeling like you can't say no to stuff, but it's weird, and but you are, am I the bad person if I say no? And but
we get a glimpse inside the trunk and it looks like some kind of mummy folded up in there.
It's a human form of some kind.
And Darcy tells Yana that a witch gave it to her parents on their fifth wedding anniversary.
Yes, because that's the wood anniversary.
And it's a wooden looking mummy thing.
And she's such a bitch. This character's so funny. And it's, I guess, like, they're both just very odd in different ways. Oddity, I guess. But Yana's just, I think, does Darcy ask her about, like, if she thinks, like, isn't that a great present to give? And she's like, and Yana's like, no, it's terrifying. I hate it. Like, she's very honest.
Well, it's because while she's looking for her keys, she comes back down. Now that thing's sitting at the table.
Yep. It is now just at the table, sitting like it's people.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like that the little kid in Terrified.
It looks, yes, it's awful to look at. It's this very realistic wooden man. And the worst part is it's sitting there with its mouth open.
Yeah.
Like, so it's
hands splayed out on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Darcy's just chilling there on the other end of the table.
So it's just sitting there, like, staring at them with its mouth and teeth just ha.
And apparently they don't keep food there, even though I'm like, dude, if you live that far away, that fucking fridge better be
stocked. You better
stocked.
Have so much frozen meat and stuff, you know?
But no, their dinner is a charcuterie board.
Yep, cheese.
It's just cheese and prosciutto.
Yeah. I mean, I'll eat a cheese plate for dinner. She makes her girl dinner, you know? Whatever.
They have a great conversation where it's like,
this conversation, this whole thing is so awkward and
so tense and passive aggressive, because Darcy's like, do I look stupid?
Because what prompts that?
It's because Yana says that if a man had shown up at the door, she wouldn't have let him in because she's not stupid. And Darcy's like, do I look stupid? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, my sister was my identical twin.
So,
and she's not stupid.
Right.
But you implied that she was for leaving this person in. And then Darcy's like, you sound stupid.
Oh, God. It's such an awkward back and forth. And then we've got insinuations that Yana and Ted were together. They've been together longer than they've said they've been together.
Yeah, which Darcy's like, exactly how long have you guys been together? Are you sure you weren't talking to each other while my sister was still alive?
Yeah. It's very uncomfortable. And then this is when Darcy explains what she does for a living. She doesn't just own the antique store. She reads objects.
Yes. Anything that was close and personal to someone, she can touch it and see their experiences. And
something with skin to skin. That's been in contact with someone's skin is best.
Mm-hmm.
It's why she wears gloves, kind of like Theo in Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how she can read. I think she says she's had clients where it's some people will bring wedding rings and want to know if their husband or wife's been unfaithful, stuff like that.
Yeah. And she read Olin's eyeball. And she says, Olin did not kill my sister.
Hmm.
And then we flash back to the opening scene.
Yep.
And we see that Danny did not let Olin in when she reached for that doorknob. She decided against it. And he was very sad about that. But he said he would go get help for her and for her to be very careful. Soon as he leaves, she starts hearing noises around this big ass house, and she's a little creeped out. I mean, they're coming from both directions, so it's like,
I'm
it
sure
could just
sound
be house noises.
Travels weird in that place too. It's very cavernous.
Yes, and know? So she decides to go to her little tent and get in there, and she has the camera that's been taking pictures on a time lapse, and she starts going through the photos, and sure enough, as she goes through one of them, there's a guy.
Yes, and it's the white mask with little dot eyes we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so she unzips that tent and she starts to look out into the darkness, and that guy's fucking face leans right in front of her, dude.
God, that's good.
Big old
scare. There's a lot of jump scares.
I think that's the best one. That tent scare, I think, is the best one. Scared the shit out of me.
There's one later that I also really love.
Okay, flag it when we get there.
I will.
Yeah, this one.
This one is good.
I screamed.
Even though it's also one where I'm like, man, something's... He's going to be there, but I just don't know how.
Yeah.
And it still got me.
This one took me back. Like, I didn't think it would be right there. Like, right there. He, like, bagools her.
Yeah. Where you're thinking he's going to be farther back in the...
Or, yeah. Or that, like, the sequence would continue. She'd get out and, like, no. He just bagools her. And then she's in that tent, and he's just outside of it with a hammer. And then...
Hard cut.
He starts to enter it, and then it hard cuts to him sitting outside the tent, and the tent is
full
bloody
of blood
inside.
So we don't see what we just see the
aftermath
of the murder of
yeah. Danny.
So that's
really effective.
It's yes, it's great. It's terrifying and it's very, very good.
So then we get a flashback to Olin in the asylum, I guess, yeah. or in the institution. He's talking to a guy with the most sunken cheeks since Grand Moff Tarkin.
This guy is in Dieter Lazar territory of cheekbones.
He's like...
Like, how does that happen? Like, this is like no middle sliders, cheekbones.
Yeah. Like, what's it called when you're like biting the inside of your cheeks for pictures? It's not mewing. That's a different thing.
I mean, it's like the buckle fat area. Where
yeah.
It's,
oh, yeah. Yeah. This guy has zero.
I forget what it's called when you, I mean, it's just like sucking your cheeks. Is there a name for it? I mean, it's getting into blue steel kind of.
He looks cool.
This guy doesn't need to mew.
He looks fucking cool, dude.
He's cool. He's got a cool look. He was in, briefly, he was in A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms as a Tully. There's an attempt to recruit him for the big turn, the trial at the end, and he's like, nah.
Oh, actually, Gressel might know him. The Walls? Do you know that? Or no. The Stunning and The Walls are two bands, and he is... Steve Wall. So he's a musician who is also in those. Multi-platinum selling Irish band.
Oh, shit.
The Stunning. Yeah. Okay. He was in The Witcher 2020. Vikings. He was in Vikings.
Who was he in Vikings?
Because you only watched a few seasons of that, right? Uncle Einar.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And The Witcher in one episode, Boholt. He's in a bunch of stuff.
It's crazy if you are
a bunch of stuff shot in Ireland.
Yeah.
yeah.
If
yeah.
you are an Irish or Scottish guy above a certain height, you get drafted to be in Vikings.
But also
it's mandatory service over there.
I'm shocked he doesn't have an Outlander credit.
That is actually shocking.
Right?
To me.
Shouldn't
it's Scotland.
Yeah, be Scotland. But
they
Irish
all
characters
play each true. Other. That's they all play true. Each other. That I can say. They all play each other.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this motherfucker's English. So there you go. You're all playing each other.
The guy in the multi-platinum
the guy in the
Irish
band is English?
Maybe I just was saying it was Irish. Oh, no, it is a multi-platinum selling Irish band, but the motherfucker's English.
What won't they colonize?
Anyway, this guy is a dick. Talking shit to Olin. Because Olin is a recently freed man. He had spent 17 years at a psych ward or whatever you want to call it for killing his mom.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently his mom was very abusive and the reason he lost his eye.
Yes, it sounds like his mom was a little like there's something going on where she was obsessed with his eyeballs.
Something. Well, there's apparently a short film prequel made in 2013 by Damien McCarthy,
dude.
Starring this actor.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's called, like, How Olin Lost His Eye, and it's Olin Boole.
Is this a Viewask Universe
dude, maybe
thing?
Maybe this is a fucking McCarthy.
We should have fucking asked him that.
Yeah. Like, is this your cinematic universe, dude?
Wow.
Because now I'm intrigued. Yeah, we got to watch this short and see. Because 2013, and this was 20, that's over a decade prior that he would have worked with this actor. And it, at least the Wikipedia one line said it. Was the character's backstory
crazy? Yeah, his mom apparently, yeah, is the reason he lost one eye, and he killed her in self-defense while she was trying to take the other one.
Yeah,
and the Darcy even says, like, if you had just one eye left, wouldn't you kill someone trying to defend it?
She's like, I know I would.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But this guy Ivan, this orderly with the sunken cheeks, he's talking shit about Olin.
This guy is like the characters in those new Planet of the Apes, the first new Planet of the Apes movie where they're like the evil zookeepers who just taunt the apes.
So yeah, we just see that like he had interacted with Olin in a flashback, but now it's present day again. And that Ivan guy still works with Ted mm-hmm. Timmis.
And God, what do these two talk about all day?
Well, they're playing chess together and Ted's taking a long time deciding his moves. Ivan's just sitting there kind of nonchalant, and he says that the other day I walked into a shop and nearly shat myself because I saw your dead wife.
Yep.
But it wasn't your dead wife. She has a twin sister. Why didn't you tell me? And Ted's just like, I don't know, dude.
Irrelevant.
And then he makes his move, and then, like, it's one of those things where Ivan, like, as he's getting up to leave, he, like, does a move, and, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the sunglasses lower down.
Yeah. So Yana calls Ted and is like, dude, this sucks over here. Mm-hmm. I got this bitch talking shit about me, probing into our relationship. I got this wooden mummy sitting at the table with its mouth open.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even have Wi-Fi. Like, this blows.
She kind of like ends her conversation with Darcy and is like, all right, I'm going to bed. Fuck this. This is the scare that got me good.
Oh, when she's upstairs?
Yes. She finds the, because she was looking at the sister's camera earlier, and she now is laying in bed.
Oh, this. Oh, okay. This one's
this
cool
is
too.
Insane. She's
yeah.
Like,
yeah. She's like, okay, it's time for me to go to bed. But instead
I'm going to doom scroll through my boyfriend's dead wife's camera.
Yeah. And which like is, play the videos this of
is
them.
Like, this is like truly ascendant doom scrolling.
Yeah. She's like replaying the videos of them moving into the house and like, camping out during the renovation.
So there's a video she plays where it's Danny and they're in the little yellow tent and it's freezing cold and Danny's like filming herself and she's like, oh, we're here and it's freezing. Look at Ted, haha. And she flips the camera around and Ted's got his sweater pulled up over his head. It's so cold. And she yanks the sweater down and he's just like, fuck this. This sucks. Then she goes to watch the clip again. It's kind of like the weird, you know, obsessively looking at your boyfriend's ex on Instagram kind of feel.
Yeah. Go see basic.
Hardcore mode, I guess. Yeah. But she goes and watches this clip again, and it starts the same, and it's, oh, like, oh, we're in the tent, it's cold, blah, blah. And then when she turns the camera around, it's Ted with the sweater, and then when she pulls the sweater down, it's, I don't know what the fuck.
It's Danny.
Is it Danny? Because my hands instinctively just right over my eyes, and I screamed.
Yeah, it's real spooky. And then
you know
she sees
it's gonna be something weird. Because why is she watching this again? But it's still,
I know. I was like, why are you watching the same one?
But it's
again?
Still scary.
And then she sees the Danny ghost in her room.
In her room, and that also scared me.
But no, this actually happened. This happens a little bit later. Because first she's like walking around upstairs above. Because the way the house is situated, there's like a walkway above like this central area.
Yeah,
and Darcy seems to be asleep at the table, and Yana's upstairs walking, and she looks down, and the mummy's looking up at
yes,
her.
Yes, it's because we've not.
It hasn't moved.
We've
never
not
seen it move.
As far as we know, it is a statue.
Yeah.
And when she leans over to look at it sitting at the dining table, its head is craned up at her.
Mouth still open.
Good
very scary. Then she leans back, and when she looks back, it's like looking forward again. So again, we haven't seen it move.
Good.
It just moved in between. So then she goes down to check this mummy out, and that's when she finds like five bowling ball holes in the back of its head.
Yeah, you could use this thing as a bowling ball.
Yeah, you could fucking swing this boy around, man.
Like ragdoll physics, this
yeah.
thing
yeah.
around.
As anyone would.
As
do.
Anyone would, she starts sticking her fingers in there. And
then grabs some forceps.
Yeah, she wants to really do brain surgery on this thing. And what I love is it's like, there's like runes on it, I think. You instantly
yeah,
understand, because yeah. a witch gave this wooden doll to Darcy's mother. And I love, I was talking about this exact scene.
Yeah.
What's so cool about this is, for me, magic and the supernatural and horror can be really tricky because often it feels very samey, like aesthetically samey, mechanically samey, mm-hmm. like it's, we're sacrificing a goat, we're doing...
There's
a pentagram. It's a, you know, it's like, okay, we know the, and it's, to me, it just stops being interesting at a point unless you do something cool with it. But I love when we're doing witches or magic and we're coming up with weird, I don't know if this is based on anything specific in Wicca magic. I don't know, but
it's new to us.
This doll with the five holes in its head and there's stuff in the head. There's photos of the two sisters. There's hair. It's Darcy's hair because it's very light blonde.
Mm-hmm. There's a vial of blood.
A vial of blood is the last thing she pulls out. I compared it to...
And a tooth.
And a tooth, yes. Mm-hmm. I compared it to two movies that recently I think have done this also very well, where there's a supernatural weird element where I'm like, huh, I haven't seen anything like this before, and I'm intrigued. One is Long Legs with the dolls. Again, I guess it's a doll thing. Maybe I just like weird dolls, but the dolls with the silver spheres,
yes,
in their heads, and the like smoke that comes out, uh-huh, I think is really unique. And weapons.
Yeah.
The magic in weapons with the bowl of water and the snapping the stick is very unique. It's a unique, refreshing take on witchcraft.
And it doesn't get over-explained.
Yes.
But it's depicted in a way where you understand enough of how it works for the story.
Yeah. There's something unique about what Gladys is doing that is like, it sticks with you and you're intrigued. And this is the case here too.
Yeah. As Yana pulls out the vial of blood, the last thing, all of a sudden Darcy's standing
there. Put them back!
It's very scary.
Reddit, am I the asshole?
So she does. She puts them back.
Yes.
I just like to think of her being like, okay, this one went here. Okay, pretty sure the pictures were in the 3 o'clock hole.
Yeah, I wonder if it matters what hole
probably
they each go in.
Can't be mixing up holes, dude.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This is when the camera scare happens.
Yeah, because she's like trying to go to bed. But finally, after that camera scare and seeing Danny's ghost again, she goes downstairs, finds her keys in the crate.
In the box.
And gets the fuck out of there.
Yep.
Deuces.
She says bye.
She's done with this shit.
Yes.
Props to Yana.
Good for her.
She definitely was sleeping with a married man. I mean, she calls and she's like, Ted, she's asking about us.
Questions.
Yeah. So they were definitely sneaking around. But aside from that and a bit of her coldness towards Darcy, most rational person here.
Yep.
And knows when to fucking leave. And she gone.
Yes. Oh, she also sees, I think right before she leaves, doesn't she see like the ghost, as she's leaving, the ghost face emerging from the darkness?
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking, that's not even a jump scare. It's just
fucking
scary.
No, it's just like a face in the dark. Ugh. And I think Danny's ghost, when she sees her after the camera scare, like says to leave. And she's like, don't mind if I do.
Mm-hmm.
She's out of there.
Ted gets back home.
Yeah, Ted finally gets back home after work.
Honey, I'm home. You get back home. Your girlfriend's gone.
There's a mummy man at
There's
the table.
There's a mummy man and your dead wife's sister
folded up upstairs.
Eating cheese.
Yeah, she's in a cheese coma.
Yeah.
No, she's like upstairs. In like a child's pose almost.
Yeah,
she's
real
folded
up. There's like a loft area.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she has like a wedding ring in front of her.
Yes. She at some point got a hold of Ted's
wedding ring.
Oh, yeah, Ted's wedding ring. We know, we can infer from her powers that she explained earlier, especially the fact that objects that have skin to skin contact, that's also presumably how she was able to infer the details of Yana's relationship with Ted is the car keys.
Oh, good call.
And that's why they were missing.
Mm-hmm.
She infers from the wedding ring and from the eyeball, she's able to piece together that she already knows that it's Olin that didn't kill Danny. And she figures out it's Ivan, the guy that works with Ted,
mm-hmm,
that did it. Is this when she reveals, like, this is when the whole thing falls apart? Is this when we learn, like, the everything?
Yeah. She says that she dragged Olin from his bed and killed him.
Yeah.
And that she killed the wrong man and that she feels bad about
presumably
that.
Presumably to get the eyeball is why she would have.
Or just as revenge.
Sure.
I think just as revenge of the man who killed her.
But then why would she specifically be like, I want something of the man.
Maybe she sensed that something was off.
I don't know.
Because she could have just taken that eyeball when she killed him.
Oh, sure.
But also the question is like, how the fuck did what? How did you kill?
I guess it's also like, I gotta be sure kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But also how?
Yeah. How did she kill Olin Bool?
She's also like very petite. I can't see her crushing someone's head like a watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's got like crazy thighs.
Xena Onatopper. She said, but she also reveals that Ted hired Ivan to kill Danny.
Yep, these two idiots.
Ted was scared that his wife would find out about the affair he was having with Yana And because he didn't want to potentially lose the house that he had just sunk all this money in.
He was like, we will surely get a divorce and she will surely get the house. And damn it, I spent a lot of money on the house.
Solution, have her
killed. Have her murdered by my weird coworker, or employee rather.
And they had this discussion the same night Olin was there. And Olin overheard it through the vents, which is why he followed Ivan to the house, which is why he was there in that opening scene.
Yeah.
Because he followed Ivan there and saw Ivan go into that house and was actively really trying to warn her. And I just love how, like, sympathetic and validated Olin is in the end.
Yeah, he was just trying to warn her.
He was just
a good guy. He was trying to save her life,
But our instinctive prejudices against someone who looks a little different would get us all killed.
It's that and also the fear that women have anyway.
It's a totally rational fear.
Yes. But there's that additional layer, and the fact that he was a former patient, it's very it's
very complicated.
Yes.
Which is why it's such a good movie.
And it's also why it's really sad.
Yeah. It's tragic.
Yeah.
Also, during the conversation between Ted and Ivan talking about like how to do it, Ivan, who is mentioned to have been a psychopath, Ted reveals that like Ivan was a patient who he released, befriended, and hired. And
like, what is this fucking henchman ass thing he's, you know what I mean? Like, this is like some DC comic shit. I don't know what's going on in this psych ward, dude.
And while he's telling Ivan, you know, to get rid of his wife, Ivan's like, what if the motive was sexual?
Yeah, he's like, what if it goes sexual?
And Ted's like, no, just kill her and make it painless. But
what if it did?
And he's like, no, stop. But what I thought of is,
yes,
when we see the murder, or as much of it as we do, all we see is him starting to enter the tent, and then it cuts to the aftermath of him sitting out.
It's one of the most, because I remember when we see, when you see the murder and it cuts to the aftermath, I'm like, okay, I mean, I could see, I wonder how many people were like, oh, we didn't get to see a crazy, like, murder, like, whatever.
Bashing to death with a hammer,
It's not that kind of movie, but I could see a certain kind of horror fan being disappointed. But that edit and the conversation in this scene is, like, bone-chilling when you make that connection.
Yeah.
When I didn't make that connection until you pointed it out, and I genuinely got, like, goosebumps.
Yeah. I think the implication is...
I think very much so, yes.
Plenty there.
Yeah.
Ivan's a fucking monster. But Darcy's got it figured out, and Ted's caught. And he's such a little bitch guy that he's like, well, you know what? The cops aren't going to believe you. You can go ahead and call the cops.
What? He says what? He's going
to... I'm going to go back to the office and talk to the police and they'll call my cell phone. Because
at this point, he's still like, listen, it wasn't me. They investigated it. I understand, like, it's a confusing time. It's the 1 year anniversary or whatever. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the office. I'm going to call the officer assigned to the case, I think. I'm going to call you on my phone that I'm leaving here with you. Whoa, my phone just started ringing. And when the phone I leave here rings, make sure to pick it up.
Yeah. Make sure you pick it up.
Make sure you...
setting it right here. Here it is. Make sure you pick it up.
Make sure you pick it up. I'm leaving it all the way over here.
Yeah.
But make sure you
pick it up. When it rings, make sure you pick it up. All right, bye.
Bye.
He leaves.
Not before opening a fucking trap door like a cartoon villain, though.
Yeah, literally, it's like one of the first shots of the movie is you see Darcy or Danny doing repairs. And I don't know if this was like a barn or what, but there was like a hole in that loft that she was covering. And it reveals that while Darcy was talking to Ted, he was quietly removing the cover to this hole in the second story and then putting the phone on the opposite end like a fucking, Wile E. Coyote. Yeah. Like, come and get it. And so he ends up getting back to the office. He calls the phone and you see on her face, I think she knows that this is a trap. And but she still feels really guilty over killing Olin. And I think that that's why she steps forward and through the hole. towards the phone through the hole. Cause like I saw some people be like, why would she's shown like awareness of her surroundings before. Why would she be dumb there? I think, you know, she accepted it.
Yeah.
And walked through and falls to a very bloody,
almost death.
Almost death. But just to make sure, Ted sends his henchmen.
Yep.
Ivan goes up there.
Here comes Ivan.
He goes there and Darcy's still there. A lot of blood, but like kind of, you know, coughing, bleeding. And Ivan's all like, he calls Ted and he's like, he's still alive.
Well, he says, he's like, your phone is, your phone fell and it's broken, but it's not totally, your phone's not totally dead. It's broken. It's pretty smashed up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Ted's like, well, is it fixable? No, it's beyond repair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before Ivan can leave, Darcy starts muttering some stuff. And it's time to activate the wooden golem.
Yep.
Golem.
Oh, he's coming. Golem.
Golem.
Yeah.
No, he starts moving. Not everyone loves this decision.
I don't love it. I don't like seeing him actually moving.
I think it's more effective when you don't see him actually moving, but I'm okay with him actually moving.
This is a hard ending to pull off if you don't see him moving around.
Yeah, because this explains how she killed Olin. And what that other guy, Declan, was hiding from in those early scenes. This fucking wooden...
piloting this...
Yeah, it's like a fucking Gundam. Just walking around smashing heads and shit.
It's so fucking scary.
And sure enough, he grabs Ivan's head, starts crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Darcy dies.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivan survives.
Yeah.
Survives his head crushing.
Yep.
Wakes up in a hospital bed. Ted's there.
And Ivan realizes he's shackled to the bed.
He's strapped down to that bed.
Yep.
And Ted says, hey, man, you came in and you were talking to the nurses about a wooden man who was animated and attacked you. That sounds crazy, dude.
Yeah.
What other crazy shit are you going to try to say to people?
Yeah.
Especially because And
he learns that Ivan requested a priest.
Yeah.
And the nurse
He's like, why would you want a priest? Yeah. And he's like, so I can confess.
I'm going to confess. And Ted's like, okay, so you know if you do that, they have to go to the cops, right? Like, they have...
He's like, Ivan's like, I'll just say it was me.
I'll just say it was me. I won't say it was you. I don't want to go to hell.
Leaves him strapped in, releases this other guy who we've seen in the background. The cannibal.
Yeah.
A guy who's had, like, a fucking...
Send in the guy in the McFoley... he's got a mankind mask.
For sure. Demasked, and that guy starts biting on... Ivan's toes. It's a good scare.
Dude, he pops up at the end of the bed and he's like the moonlight man, dude. It is like the moonlight man. He looks right at Ivan's toes, like they're a little snack, and just goes to fucking town and he murders Ivan. Because Ted says, like, you know, the best part about this job is people don't ask questions, especially when it's patient on patient violence.
Mm-hmm.
It gets written off as, well, that's what happens.
Yep.
So that's how he murders Ivan.
Ted goes back home. We hear a voicemail left by Yana saying, quit trying to call me. Why are you living in this house where two people have been murdered? Bye.
Yeah.
Yana's safe.
Yep. Good for her.
Good for her. She made it
Good
out.
For
She's
her.
Done.
She's, yeah, back to her job selling pharmaceuticals.
Is it better over there? Pharmaceutical? Sales?
That's what...
They can't have commercials,
right? I was
going
to say, what's the job like there?
Yeah. Is it more of like a doctor-patient thing? Because
there's got to be way more rules.
I imagine.
They can't be giving out like plushies with fucking Advair inhaler logos on them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
He goes back home. He's living there by himself, I guess. And he finds he's gotten a package in the mail. A little gift. From
yes.
Odelia's Oddities.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bell.
It's the bell. And you know, you hear that story, and even though you don't believe in it.
I mean, he's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
You gotta know what happens when you ring the bell. And he rings it, and it's quiet. Nothing happens.
He gets a satisfied smirk on his face, like, yeah, science wins.
Yeah, the music that we presume is like, you know, we're going into the end credits here, starts playing. It's this nice kind of upbeat, like, I don't know, swoony song, like, mm-hmm. do, 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 do. And then we kind of cut to a wide, and the ghost bellboy is just standing next to him, like he's ready to pick up his bags as soon as Ted asks him. He's at his beck and call for eternity, I assume.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I, the ending is so funny. Just the image is like kind of a, it's like a funny stinger at the end of this. Like mm-hmm. his movies are funny.
They are. And Hokum is much more openly funny.
Hokum is very funny.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. His movies are not marketed that way. And again,
they're not. And because you can't.
You can't.
You can't call it a horror comedy.
We talk about this in our interview with
yes, so make sure
Damien
you watch it.
And Adam. But yes, his movies have such a bizarre sense of humor, and this kind of punchline at the end is a great example of that.
I wonder if he personally knows Oz Perkins.
I feel like they would get along.
Yeah, I think they both have like a dark sense of humor.
Very sardonic kind mm-hmm. of, yeah, I can see it.
And it's funny, just like, you know, not all Irish people know each other, but we also recently talked to Lee Cronin, who is a much more like animated kind of bubbly guy, and then Damien is much more like reserved mm-hmm. and quiet, but they're both making fun stuff, great stuff. What's going on, Ireland? You got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah.
A long tradition of excellent storytelling.
Yeah, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true.
Mm-hmm. When's maybe we can do a Dead Meat Ireland?
Oh, yeah, we probably can.
I would love that.
Let us know. Sound off if you're over on the what's its nickname?
The Emerald Isle.
The Emerald Isle.
I was like, the Green Coast. I'm thinking of Australia. I was like, Australia's the Golden Coast. I'm tired. The Green Coast. The Green Coast.
Yeah.
It's not as elegant.
No.
Great. Well, yeah, that's Oddity. I really like this movie a lot. I'm upset at us for not... it just genuinely was like a, oh, fuck. We just didn't get to it in time.
And I remember in our post... award show discussion with Rebecca McKendry. She cited this as one
that
of
in Red Rooms more and movies that we were like kicking ourselves like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. I know we should actually ask Rebecca, like, hey, anything we might be overlooking for this one?
We should, because she sees everything.
She does, yeah.
I mean, that's her job. She's a doctor.
She's a doctor.
She's a doctor, Rebecca. She's a horror doctor. I'm not being silly. She has a doctorate.
On the subject of the awards, though, work on them has started in earnest. We're aiming for a July release at this point.
Yeah.
And then a little sad news for the Rumble. We are thinking it's probably going to be pushed back to October and then become an annual October thing. Having it in the beginning of the year at the same time as the awards,
it makes it really hard.
It's
for
too stacked
both
to have
of us
those,
to work on it.
Yeah, those two big projects. So the goal for next year is to have the awards back around the Oscars season and then the Rumble every October.
Rest assured, though, the Rumble is like very much in progress.
Oh yeah, all the wrestlers are made.
All the wrestlers are made except one. I gotta finish one.
The entrances are picked. But there's a lot more to do with the arena, the very nitty
like,
gritty details.
We are actively working on it,
and it's awesome.
And laughing our asses off
it's
the entire
cool.
time as
so
we work on it.
I'm sorry that you have to wait another half a year. Oh, that fucking blows. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do another Patreon stream where we show how...
Maybe we could do a little Money in the Bank match with some of the wrestlers.
That could be fun. Where
like
it's not as heavily edited.
Yeah,
and it's just something, a little teaser.
Something to tide you over.
Okay.
Because 6 months is too long.
We should do that with like just a handful of the characters so we don't spoil all of them.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do something like that because... Yeah, six months is too long to wait.
I made a character a couple days ago that previously I would have thought would be impossible to make.
I still don't understand how you did it.
Yeah. I have a very specific skill and is not useful at all except in this very specific use case.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, I guess.
I'm going to fall over as soon as we hit stop on this recording. Good episode, though. I really like this movie. Good discussion. He's a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
Well, until next time, I don't know what we're going to do next time. We've thrown around a few ideas. We'll need to pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so we'll do something fun. As always. I don't know. I'm so fucking tired.
You really like the Letterboxd game, by the way.
That was fun. Yeah. I liked that.
Yeah,
it was hard. Cool. Anyway, until next time. I'm Chelsea.
I'm James.
And that's Grassel.
Thanks, Grassel.
And that's the moth that is flying around in here somewhere. And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.